2 Chronicles chapter 26 this morning. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Last week we looked at an Old Testament character in Moses who was an example for us. We considered meekness. This morning we're going to continue and look at another Old Testament character, but we're going to look at a man named Uzziah, who was king, who's also an example, but the wrong kind of example, and we're going to consider the other side of things, how Uzziah experienced failure in his life because of a character flaw, and we're going to consider Uzziah an example of failure because of pride. And so this is what we're going to look at through this chapter. We're going to read the entire thing of 2 Chronicles 26. And you follow along as we read this whole story here and get the idea, the context of what's going on. Verse 1, then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And he went forth and warred against the Philistines and brake down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jebna and the wall of Ashdod and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Jerubbaal and the Mehunims. And the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad even to the entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall and fortified them. Also, he built towers in the desert and digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains, husbandmen also, and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. Moreover, Uzziah had an host of fighting men that went out to war by bands according to the number of their account by the hand of Jeiel, the scribe of and I can't even pronounce those, but you see it for yourself there. The ruler under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600, and under their hand was an army 300,000 and 7,500 that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings to cast stones. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks, to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king, and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord, Lord God. Then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked upon him. And behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out of from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death. and dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord, and Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first and last, did Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, write. So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial, which belongeth to the kings, for they said, he is a leper, and Jotham his son reigned in his stead. Uzziah was a very young man when he was crowned king. The Bible says that he was 16 years old. His reign was very long. It was 52 years, according to the Word of God. And the Bible also notes here that Uzziah had good influences in his life. As a very young man, the Bible tells us that Uzziah was under the godly influence of Zechariah, who the Bible said had understanding in the visions of God. What a powerful influence to have in one's life. Amen. One who can influence your life towards godliness, who had understanding in the visions of God. Zechariah, no doubt, was a very godly man in his own life. He probably understood what another Zechariah before him understood and taught these things to Uzziah. In 2 Chronicles chapter 24 and verse 20, the Bible says, if ye forsake the Lord, ye cannot prosper. A Zechariah before him taught those very principles, and no doubt this man taught these to Uzziah, because the Bible states that Uzziah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding and the visions of God. And the Bible says in verse 5, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. How true this message would eventually be in the life of Uzziah, the message of, if you forsake the Lord, you cannot prosper. Zechariah had a powerful influence in Uzziah's life at one point, and it affected his heart as a young man. But once you get to the second half of this chapter, we read in verse 16, but when he was strong, because verse 15 says that the Lord helped him, the Lord marvelously helped him until he was strong. But when he was strong, the Bible said his heart was lifted up to his destruction. I want us to walk through this passage here this morning and learn some lessons from the life of Uzziah that can be a powerful challenge to us as well in our life. Let's pray and then we'll begin. Lord, I pray that you would give us understanding of your word, and Lord, that we would be quick to apply God's truth in our life, and Lord, that our minds and our hearts would be engaged today in the Word of God and in the worship of the Lord, knowing that you have something that you want to accomplish in us. And Lord, I pray that we would not fail of that today, but Father, be able to honor you with our receptivity to the Word of God and Father, your purpose in our life. Thank you for our church. Thank you for these faithful people. We pray for those who are not here with us. We have several who are gone, who are sick, and Lord, I pray that you would encourage them in the Lord today too, and Father, bring us back together again to, as a family, as a church. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, first of all, I want you to notice what we find in this passage. Verse 5, we find an encouraging start to Uzziah's life. Verse 5 says, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. The Bible tells us that as long as Uzziah sought after the Lord, that God worked in his life, God made him to prosper. In other words, Uzziah was seeking after God. God had his rightful place in Uzziah's life. And as long as God was there in his rightful place, there were no interruptions to the steady march of, of rising prosperity for King Uzziah. Notice the rest of these verses, or verse 6 and following. You see the rise in prosperity here in King Uzziah in verse 6. And he went forth and warred against the Philistines and break down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jebna and the wall of Ashdod and built cities about Ashdod among the Philistines. And verse 7 says, God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians. In verse 8, and the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad even to the entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. Verse 9 tells us that Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem, fortifying the city. Verse 10 tells us he built towers in the desert. He digged wells. Verse 10 says that he has a lot of cattle in the plains and so on, and in the low country as well. He had vine dressers in the mountains. The Bible tells us in verse 11 that he had a host of fighting men. There's all kinds of things that are happening here in the rise of prosperity for King Uzziah. Verse 12 tells us that he had 2,600 captains, men of valor, who were over the army. His army was over 300,000 fighting men who helped the king war against the enemy. Verse 14 says that Uzziah had enough resources to well equip his army as well. Verse 14 says that he gave them shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings. Verse 15 says he made in Jerusalem engines. That word engines basically means war machines. And the war machines were in the towers to shoot arrows and great stones. I mean, he was well fortified, well protected. And verse 15 says his name spread far abroad. And why? Because he was marvelously helped of the Lord. As long as he sought God, God made him to prosper. God helped him increase. As long as God had his rightful place in the life of Uzziah, there weren't any interruptions in the rise and the steady march of prosperity. And you know, let me make the application here this morning. If we experience any kind of prosperity in our life, it's only God made. The Bible clearly says that God helped him marvelously. His name spread, but it was because of God and God's hand in his life. And all true and abiding prosperity is only God made, whether that's physical prosperity or spiritual prosperity. It's not without the Lord. And the condition of that prosperity is seeking after God. What does the Bible tell us in the New Testament? The Lord knows the needs that we have in our life, right? Before we ever even ask. And the Bible tells us in Matthew to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What is the focus of our life to be, according to the Word of God? Not to be focused on even personal gain or personal prosperity, but to be seeking after the kingdom of God. That is to be the focus of our life, and the Lord will take care of the rest. As long as Uzziah sought after the Lord, God made him to prosper. And all abiding prosperity is only God made. And we note here that it was as long as, that was the condition that was set on Uzziah, as long as he sought after the Lord. But then, as soon as he stopped seeking after the Lord, all that success that he experienced also stopped. Verse 5 is an encouraging start because he's got so much potential. He's starting on the right path. He's seeing prosperity from the Lord. And it was as long as he sought the Lord. Let me ask this question. What exactly is seeking after the Lord? I think the principle could be applied in our life as well, that God is going to cause us to prosper. Maybe it's not riches that we prosper in. But God will cause us to prosper if we seek after the Lord. But what exactly is seeking after the Lord? Well, I think the Word of God shows us, tells us what seeking after the Lord is. We could maybe give it a definition: seeking to know Him, seeking to love Him more and more, seeking His character in our life. I think that would be a basic definition of what seeking after the Lord is, wanting God's character manifested in my life to become more and more like Him, wanting His glory, wanting His will. I think that would be a basic definition of what seeking after the Lord is. All I want, what I really want, is just for God, His will and His glory to be given or through my life. Wanting to do His will, to learn of Him, to learn of His character. In fact, Jesus encourages and challenges and says in Matthew 11, go over there with me, just put your ribbon here, we'll be back. Or hold your spot, but look in Matthew 11. And look at verse 29. Verse 28 says, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And he says in verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Jesus says to learn of me, learn of my meekness, my lowliness, and learn of my character, to take my yoke upon you. We can read over in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Turn over there. In verse 1, 2 Corinthians 10, 1 says, "Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold towards you." Paul says, I'm beseeching you by the what? The meekness and gentleness of Christ. It is Christ's character. It is Christ's life that is being lived through the Apostle Paul. And I'm beseeching you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. We're going to talk about gentleness later. Not in the Sunday school hour, but in the afternoon service. And how it's a character trait of the Lord Jesus Christ that ought to be in our own life as well. But Paul states here that I'm beseeching you, but it's not me. He says it's by the gentleness and meekness of Christ. Jesus says, learn of me, for I am meek and I'm lowly. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2, verse 7. "But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Here is the example of Christ in humility and servitude and obedience. And verse 8 says, "He humbled himself and became obedient unto death." What are we finding here? And what's the point behind this? Seeking after the Lord is really seeking for His life and His character in my own. For His glory, for His honor. Above my own, above anything else in this life. Truly seeking to know the Lord more is going to produce something in our life. And we find it's going to produce humility in the life. This is key, because what do we find with Uzziah? God helped him as long as he sought after the Lord. And God helped him until he was strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. Seeking to know the Lord, seeking Christ's character, is going to produce humility in our life. It's the key. Some people start off in better positions than others do in life. That's a fact. For example, having the privilege to grow up in a Christian home with parents who love the Lord, to be immersed in a scriptural New Testament church from the time that you're little, that is a great privilege. And some people start off a whole lot better than others. Uzziah was 16 years old when he began to reign. He had the influence of a godly man in his life. He had every possible chance of success. He started out right. It was an encouraging start. But ultimately, none of that guaranteed success in his life. The start that he had, the influence of a godly man in his life, all of those things were good things, and he had every possible chance of success. But none of that guaranteed success, because he was still ultimately responsible for himself before God. You know, there are people all over this room who've grown up in Christian homes. You're adults now. You've had every possible chance of success and an encouraging start even in your life. But just because you started well, just because of the influences and the upbringing and so on, that doesn't guarantee success in your own life, because ultimately you're responsible to God for yourself. You've been marvelously helped, just like Uzziah. You're strong. But it was when Uzziah was strong that his heart was lifted up. The point is, prosperity came only as long as you sought after the Lord. And the same is true in our lives. The same is true in our lives. If ultimately we want God's will and God's glory, and our focus is primarily, Lord, I want you to be glorified in my life. I want to know you. I'm seeking after you. We'll experience that measure of prosperity and success as long as we seek after the Lord. But the moment that we turn our attention from the Lord to self is the moment that we begin to see the blessings of God cease in our life. We see an encouraging start in verse 5. I want you to go to verse 15. Go back to our text and go to verse 15, because here we see an assuring confirmation, because verse 15 tells us that he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men and so on, and he was well fortified. The second part says that his name spread far abroad, and the last part of the verse is the confirmation. He was marvelously helped till he was strong. The blessing and the prosperity of God in Uzziah's life are recorded in the victories that he won over the Philistines. The Philistines were long enemies of Israel. But notice specifically that God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians. Look at verse 7. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Jerubbaal and the Mehunims. God helped him against these enemies. Some of these are peoples that are unknown. I did a little study about where they might have resided, and some say that they were likely to the south and east of Judah. But we know that the Philistines were longtime enemies of Israel, and God helped him win victories over these people, and the blessing of God in his life had very tangible results. And his name spread far abroad. Not only did Uzziah prosper politically, but he also prospered personally. The Bible says that he had a lot of cattle, and he had vine dressers and vineyards and so on. He was prosperous personally. God blessed him militarily. We read in verses 11 through 14 how large his army was. He had an army of 307,500 men that were led by 2,600 officers. All of these were men of valor, men of war. They evidently were a formidable military force. What blessings in his life that were very, very tangible, because God helped him marvelously. And you know what? We are always marvelously helped when we're helped of God. Amen? It's surely God's purpose to make strong those who seek after Him with the whole heart, so that His will is done in our life. And the first part of Uzziah's reign is really summarized by that statement in verse 15, that he was marvelously helped of the Lord till he was strong. That really summarizes the first part of Uzziah's life and Uzziah's reign. And God placed extraordinary blessings upon Uzziah until he was a powerful, strong king. But sadly, somewhere along the line, he forgot where those blessings came from. It's easy for us to do the same. Listen, we can get so consumed with the temporal things of life. I mean, the day-to-day, the consuming of things, the trying to prosper ourselves with houses and lands and things and so on. And we can forget where those blessings come from. Because once Uzziah forgot where those blessings came from when he was strong, then Uzziah experienced a terrible fall. Because verse 16 says, "But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. Why? For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense." Verse 16 to the end of the chapter really details the pride and even the arrogance, and then God's subsequent chastisement in Uzziah's life. And this rings true throughout Scripture. Some of the major pitfalls and downfalls of people of the Bible happen because of pride and arrogance in the heart. King Saul, for example, when he was little in his own eyes, the Bible says, he was exalted of the Lord. But when he became strong, Uzziah fell. Uzziah ruined the rest of his life because of pride. And when Uzziah became strong, the Bible says his heart was lifted up to his destruction because he transgressed against the Lord his God. And the fall and the ruin of Uzziah was his own fault. What was the cause? Well, first of all, it was pride. Pride was the start. Because verse 16 says, when he was strong, his heart was lifted up. His heart was lifted up through pride, lifted up through self-confidence. The Bible says as long as he sought to honor the Lord, God lifted him up. As long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. But now that he was strong, he sought to honor himself, and he assumed too much for himself, and it was pride that was ultimately the cause of his downfall. Pride in his life. Let's look at a couple of things. What did pride cause in his life? First of all, pride kept him or caused him to stop receiving instruction. What does verse 5 tell us about Uzziah? That he was under the influence of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. That's how he started. He was under that influence. But by the time you get to verse 17 and 18, Uzziah is strong in himself, and his pride caused him to stop receiving instruction in his life. Verse 17 says, "And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men, and they withstood Uzziah the king, and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God." Here's some good instruction for Uzziah. I wonder if he would have listened and he would have heeded the counsel of the priest, of Azariah the priest, if things would have been differently for him in his life. We all make mistakes. We all falter from time to time. We do. But it's pride in our heart so often that causes us to refuse the instruction, the godly instruction that's given to us, and ultimately takes us a step further in the wrong road. Had he said, you know what, you're right. I've messed up. I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. Would that have turned the course back? I think so. But the Bible says that, verse 19, then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priests, he was mad at the men of God because they were giving him good instruction. How often does that play itself out in people's lives? You get mad at the preacher. It's your fault. I don't like what you're telling me. When ultimately we're rebelling against God. His heart was lifted up to his destruction. His pride caused him to stop receiving instruction. Let me say this. Having experience in life often brings with it much wisdom. That's true. You learn a lot of things as you live years of life. A man can gain a lot of insight and discernment about things when experience has taught him a few lessons. The Bible even states this to be true. Proverbs 16 and verse 31. I'll read it to you. Proverbs 16:31 says, the hoary head, that's a gray hair, is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. He's got wisdom about him as an old man, and it's a glory to him because that gray hair came by way of righteousness. However, just because someone has experience, wisdom, insight from living life, it doesn't mean that they're necessarily wise, spiritually speaking. Because look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4 with me. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. The Bible says here in verse 13, better is a poor and a wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. What's better? A poor child who is wise than an old king who's got everything who can't be admonished anymore because now he's a fool. What's the point that I'm making here? Well, according to this verse here, what is the implication as to what constitutes being wise and being foolish? According to this verse, the old king is foolish who can't be admonished anymore. Being able to receive admonition is the indicator of who is actually wise and who's not. The word admonished means to be able to be taught. To be able to be taught. Are you teachable? The Bible says that an old king, the most powerful guy, the rich guy, is actually a fool because he can't be taught anymore. And it's better to be poor and to be a child and to be able to be instructed in your life than to come to a point in our life where we can't be taught anything anymore. Age, life experience, it teaches you much. But at what point do we reach a point where we know it all? And we become fools, actually, when we get to the point where we can't be instructed anymore. There are two implications that are presented here. Ecclesiastes 4:13 gives us two implications. Remember, admonished means to be able to be taught. The first implication is this. Even old men still need instruction. Even old men still need instruction. The moment one thinks that he has arrived or doesn't find value in instruction anymore is the moment that he shows himself to be a fool. Because no one has it all figured out at any point in time. In fact, Proverbs 16 and verse 25 doesn't place an age limit at all. Look at it in Proverbs 16:25. Proverbs 16:25 says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." There's no age limit that's put here, meaning that old men and experienced men can have a way of thinking about them that they think is right in their own eyes, but it can actually be the way of death. Just because there's a way of operating life that seems right to us doesn't necessarily mean that it is. In fact, that way might be a way that leads to ruin. And what we need is humility in our life that enables us to still be instructed. Where do we find instruction? In the Word of God? We find instruction from God's Word. We find instruction from godly authorities in our life. We find instruction from the Spirit of God. That's why the Bible tells us to not lean on our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct our paths. Ecclesiastes 4:13 says it's better to be a poor and wise child than to be an old and foolish king who can no more be admonished. Being able to receive instruction is the indicator of one who's wise. And that leads to the second implication. Even old men still need instruction. But then secondly, one is a fool who will not receive instruction. That's what's implied in this verse. One is a fool who will not receive instruction. Look back in Proverbs 16 again. And look at verse 21. Proverbs 16 and verse 21. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Look at verse 23. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. Solomon calls them wise who increase in learning. The Hebrew word that is translated as learning here simply means to receive instruction. It's the same as admonish. To receive instruction, able to be taught. And Solomon calls them wise who increase in their receiving of instruction. In that same context of Proverbs 16 is the proud in heart and the haughty in spirit who experience a fall. Look at verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Verse 19, better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Isn't that interesting that in the very same context of pride going before destruction is the opposite? Learning and increasing in instruction is wisdom. In Uzziah's case, his pride caused him to stop receiving instruction. The priest said, "Don't do this, Uzziah. It's not for the honor of God. It doesn't appertain to you. This is not your place. This is for the priest." And he wouldn't listen. It's the proud person who won't listen or receive instruction anymore. And a man is considered a fool that is not teachable, no matter what age he is. Go over to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs 1 and verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." I don't want to hear that. What is one of the main reasons why people won't go and get advice? Well, all too often, they know what they're going to hear from their pastor, or they know what they're going to hear. There's something that they want to do, But they know what they're going to hear from their pastor. They know what they're going to hear from a godly counsel in their life. And so they won't go talk to him. They won't go ask advice because they don't want to hear the instruction because it's going to go against what they really want to do in their life. And how many times has this played itself out? I don't get advice. I don't get instruction. I don't get help in discerning what the Lord's will because this is what I really want. And then they go and pursue after what they want only to find that it's nothing but a giant headache and heartache in their life when they should have never gone there in the first place. But they wouldn't get instruction. They wouldn't get help. They wouldn't seek advice. And it's pride of heart that causes it so often. And pride goes before destruction. And a man is considered a fool. It is not teachable. Proverbs 1:7 says that fools despise wisdom and instruction. Look at chapter 23 of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 9. Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. The Bible doesn't hold anything back, does it? It's a waste of time to speak into the ears of a fool because he's going to despise the words of wisdom. The conclusion of the whole matter of Uzziah's life, go back to our text in 2 Chronicles 26. The conclusion of the whole matter is really found in verse 21. Verse 21 says that Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death and dwelt in a several house. That basically is like a hospital, but it was a place of separation. He had to be separated. And the Bible says that he was a leper unto the day of his death. He dwelt in this place of separation, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham, his son, was over the king's house judging the people of the land. Instead of the rest of his life being blessed like the first part of his life was, he was smitten of God. And it was Uzziah's own sin that cut him off from the house of the Lord. And there was so much ruin in his life when he started off so very blessed. And it was the sin of pride and putting self in front of the Lord that kindled the wrath of God in his life and cut him off from that place of blessing. And you know what the application is the one who sets aside or leaves off from seeking after the Lord will always do so to their own destruction. Uzziah ended up experiencing great failure in his life because of pride, because of arrogance, because of not being able to receive instruction. He stopped seeking after the Lord. And the admonition for us is, may we not allow that in our own lives. Amen. Seek after being like the Lord. Seek after God's glory. Make God the primary goal and focus of our life. And when we do, man, the Lord is going to cause us to prosper. Prosper in His will, prosper in giving Him glory. Isn't that what we would all say we want? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for examples in the Scripture. Some good, some bad. Always examples for our learning, as Paul says to the Corinthians concerning the nation of Israel. These were our examples that we can learn from them. And Lord, we can learn from people like Moses, who was a meek man. We can learn from people like Uzziah, who started off so well, but pride entered into his heart and it caused ruin. We can learn from people like Samson, who had everything going for him in the beginning, so much potential, but because of letting his flesh control him, also experienced ruin. We can learn from people like Joseph, who trusted in the Lord, who never wavered. God exalted him. God used him powerfully in the lives of the nation of Israel. Father, I pray that you would help us to heed the instruction that's found in God's Word. And Lord, if there's areas of our life where we demonstrate and operate in pride or arrogance or unwillingness to humble ourselves and ask for advice and instruction, Lord, I pray that you would bring about a repentant heart and to see the wisdom and understand the wisdom behind humbling ourselves and receiving instruction and how it will cause our life to flourish and to prosper. It'll help us to avoid pitfalls, mistakes that ultimately could lead to ruin in our life or take us out of the service of the Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd instruct us and encourage us in these truths, and may we be committed to not allowing these kinds of things in our own life by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.